Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. Should remind everyone, it's Thursday. That means 3:30. We'll talk to Tom E. Curran. And about an hour from now, our guy Razor, Andrew Raycroft, will be in studio for what I think will be a less positive chat than the last time we talked to him, because the Bruins haven't won since the last time we talked to him. But joining us right now is our buddy Ted Johnson. How are we feeling?
What's up, my bros? How are we doing? Good to see you guys. I missed you. Sorry, I missed so much time here, but it's good to be back. And
yeah, man,
lots to catch up on.
Absolutely, you must be hot and bothered about a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that I've got thoughts for days.
I just need today's.
we don't have enough time to get all the thoughts in, but at least I got one more day tomorrow.
That's
before
right.
The week's in. So yeah, it was good, man. I'm glad to be back at work.
All right,
looking svelte, Ted.
We are glad to have you back.
Yeah, I am.
Incidentally, svelte.
I'm almost to my playing weight, which I hadn't been probably about 3 years. So
that's
one kind of good side benefit to getting sick.
Not sure that's the way you want to
not the
go
way you
about
want
that.
It. Definitely not.
Doesn't sound fun.
Nope, not at all.
We're good with diet and exercise, but that works too.
Yeah, but you know, it was weird. Like Sunday morning when you're kind of the sweat and you just got. I don't want to describe the scene in my bathroom, but
please don't.
It's like you're walking towards that light, and it was awesome because you know who was there? It was like Anna Nicole Smith from 1993 Playboy pinup.
Come with us, Ted.
Yeah, and she was telling me you're almost there, and then I saw myself tee off on one at Augusta, and I hit that. Little fade, 320 yards. So I just had a wedge into the hole there on one. It was, I don't know. Part of me was like, I just need to let go. I'm right there.
And did you hear Jim Nance going, and now we want to welcome to the stage Super Bowl MVP, Ted Johnson.
Fitzy, you know I did, bud.
Oh, John Madden was there to greet you,
dude,
I'm sure.
Look at the neck on
he
that
was
guy.
Like hugging you.
Look at the neck on that guy. That's why I hit that drive like
well,
that.
Well, we're glad you turned around and
thanks,
did
guys.
Not go into the light like a bug at the zapper. It's 3 o'clock. It's time now for our 3-point stance.
319!
319!
319!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up? It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick! And a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three!
WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, and it's brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or both you and your toilet saw the light this week, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Sometimes the jokes just write themselves after the start of these segments. But it's 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. We have three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds, good Lord, for your opening stance. Are you ready?
You cutting me back? In this economy?
It was going to go past 30 and 60 no matter what we did, but are you ready?
I am.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So there is this little minor controversy going on Patriots Twitter, Patriots social media, but there's also ties to national social media and Twitter. You may have noticed a little over a week ago, I think it was, Dan Orlovsky was on social media and said, I'm not allowed to post video anymore to go along with my QB breakdowns. Well, it hit the local scene yesterday. Taylor Kyles, a young reporter from CLNS who is very, very good at breakdowns and uses a lot of the footage available, the all-22s that you see for his breakdowns. He expressed on Twitter that he is no longer allowed to post those cut-ups. And I get it. I get a lot of these guys. Taylor Kyles, the perfect example, sort of built a following and a knowledge base and basically a job on these cut-ups and utilizing this information that is readily available to anyone who wants to give the NFL their credit card. You can all sign in and get the All 22, whatever they call it, NFL Plus or whatever you buy. But also, there's been an age-old rule around forever. I remember hearing it like the 85 Sox, the express written consent of Major League Baseball or the NFL. They have to give you the right to use their footage. Mm. And if they don't give you the right, you can't use it. So do I get why they're doing it? Not really. I think they would be smart to allow these guys to continue to do this, just like I'm going to continue to talk, even though
no way.
David buzzed me. Mm. And
turn that buzzer up, David. I don't know if you heard it.
You're growing a fan base. You're getting a more knowledgeable, invested fan base. And a lot of them are paying for footage themselves, because if you're interested in this, you probably also study it yourself.
Yep.
So they're already paying. But the reality is, the rules are the rules, and you were breaking the rules. If you're going 85, it doesn't matter if you're going with the rest of traffic. They're going to give you a ticket. You know,
it's kind of ironic that you're complaining about breaking the rules after that. But go ahead.
A nice, tight 2.5.
I get 2 days to just be who I want to be without any repercussions. So the odd thing is Dan Orlovsky made his name by doing videos on Twitter.
Yep.
That's how ESPN hired him. That's how he got a job at ESPN. Was all his cut-ups from his mom's basement doing that. And God, good for him, man, because it was before anybody else was doing it. And so now it's a little funny to me that it's like, dude, where you been, NFL? Like,
right.
Guys been doing this for years. And
yes.
Just now you're picking on to it. Like, but they are so, so careful about proprietary stuff being out there.
Absolutely. The one thing I find weird with Orlovsky, it's so late in the process. And Orlovsky works for ESPN, which just bought NFL Network. Like, they're now business partners.
Right.
It's almost like you need to go back to Orlovsky and be like, you know how we banned you 2 weeks ago? Well, the deal just went through. Now that the deal's through, you can go back to doing your cut-ups. Mm-hmm. Now, that won't help Taylor Kyles and probably some of the other younger people doing the same thing. I get it. I get why they're mad, and I get why because now Taylor Kyles is going to have to kind of find a different avenue to get his information out there, to do his analysis.
Well, he may have to use some sort of AI or some sort of program that generates things like, I don't know how he, what
still
sort of
photos,
like,
you know,
Kyle-estrator, if you will. But to me, I understand, Andy, like, and yes, Ted, they're very proprietary and protective of their stuff. They want to decide when you get the drug, how much you get for the drug, how much of the drug you get, how much you have to pay for it. I get all of this, but at the same time, so many more people are interested in aspects of the NFL because the NFL had a look the other way or just don't worry about it policy regarding Kurt Benkerts and Taylor Kyles and Dan Orlovsky and Brian Baldinger and all these other people doing their breakdowns. And yes, Andy, you're right. ESPN and whatever, they pay a certain amount of money every year and they're allowed to use up to a certain number of minutes per 30-minute or 60-minute or 2-hour show of running footage. Like, I remember working at NBC Sports Boston 10 years ago, and the amount of money they said they would have to pay so we could run up to 3 minutes of footage in a 30-minute show was astronomical. And these guys are obviously not paying that, but they're growing the sport. So at the same time, to me, this is a cutting off the nose to spite the face type of issue that I think is a bad look for the NFL.
I agree.
What if they just give credit to the NFL? Like, everything post you make, you just say, this is, you know, courtesy of NFL.
Nope.
I don't own the rights to
right.
It's so
dumb. I don't know.
But you can't. No, the end around that a lot of shows have done in the past is stills. You get a license through Getty Images or one of the imaging places, and you use still photos combined with, as Fitzy said, maybe some sort of a graphic or a breakdown type X's and O's. But it's just too bad.
Yeah. No, it is too bad. You would like to think that maybe, you know, he's created a platform for himself and he's got built his reputation on doing that, that it's already established and that he can go on to bigger and better things, that doesn't have to be his only kind of, you know, whatever, bread and butter thing.
He's smart. He'll be okay. I'm with Fitzy. To me, if somebody's going to watch Taylor Kyle's breakdowns of offense, defense, special teams, and I'm the NFL, I go, I bet that person will spend money on the NFL. I bet they'll buy a jersey. I bet they'll buy.
Yeah.
I bet they'll go to a game. Like, I bet that person is invested.
And he wasn't monetizing it, right? I mean, he's putting it on Twitter.
No.
I mean,
no.
So not
it's
really.
Not monetized. No, his. Right. He's monetized in so much, Ted, as he got work off of that,
right.
Just the same way Orlovsky did.
Right.
However, he's not in a revenue-sharing program on Elon Musk's X the way a lot of people that are aggregators are.
And I don't think he slapped my buddy owns a pizza shop and he sponsored it, so you know there's no logo on it. Like, he's just using it as the information. It's really a visualization of what beat writers have done forever. Well, in the third quarter, when so you know they ran the cover two and the backside did this, it's just the visual of that happening. That's really all.
Well,
it is.
If you know the workaround we do for the breakdown show, Phil Perry and I on Monday nights, NBC Sports Boston, 6 o'clock. Blood.
I heard it was really good on Monday. Best
you
episode ever.
That's some bull crap right there. I'm sure it was.
You're not getting Wally pipped by Hoyer. No. That guy's a nerd.
You know, that's my guy. So I'm proud to have Hoyer fill in, man. It's graphics, right? And you have to get creative, and you diagram the play, but with like little X's and zeros, and you highlight, and you kind of got to get creative with your graphics. But you can do it. It doesn't have the same pop, but it can still be effective.
It can be effective, but it's not as good. And I also think it's going to be hard for his viewers to go backwards. You know, they've already had the best, which is the actual. When he's talking about Pop Douglas, they see Pop Douglas doing it. Now they got to go to, oh, that X is Pop Douglas. That three is Pop Douglas. It's hard to go backwards.
Yep.
All right. We'll leave that one there. But an interesting line for the NFL to draw, because I know how much they're hurting for cash. But Fitzy, I will ask you, are you ready, my friend?
Yeah, I might need a second, Dan, because I'm just feeling so bad for the NFL. But I'll try to gut it out.
Okay, well, here is 2.5 minutes, apparently. Go ahead.
I remember famously a couple years ago, Jason Tatum said, as LeBron, boy, wouldn't it be weird if he was involved in the scandal that busted out this morning with the FBI and all the raids?
He is.
He is. It's gonna get weirder. But LeBron has been the face of the NBA for forever. And Jason Tatum said famously a couple of years ago, you know, if I win an NBA championship, I want to have something to say about that. That being, who is the next face of the NBA? Well, Jason, I hope you enjoyed your time with your terrible outfits and your really cool pink lemonade sneakers. And what they're going to say now, and my sub has bacon and your spicy chips, because the new face of the NFL last night crowned itself with a 40-point, 15-rebound, 3-block, 0-turnover spectacular in an opening night debut. Say hello to my little, or should I say bonjour to my giant friend, Victor Wembanyama, the new face of the NBA. To get over his blood clot issue and become a better player and get in shape, the man did kung fu meditation, a focus on health, and was taught and learned new moves inspired by the great Hakeem Olajuwon. Oh. We are just now, we are at the very tip of the iceberg of the beginning of the age of Wembanyama. He's the size of the characters in your favorite movie, Avatar, Ted, and I, for one, love it.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, it's paint them blue, man. That'd work. It was funny that,
awesome.
that reverse behind the head dunk he had. It's like, does his toes even leave the floor? I mean, it was like us dunking on our kids when it was a little Nerf hoop in our
like
rooms.
Like you dunking on me.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to say it, but you're
you. Allowed to say it. You're back. I've missed it. It's been a long time.
It was. I was a hell of a game, no doubt. But we're gonna get to it. I thought the third overall pick for the 76ers had a hell of a game too. But
Wimby, he did.
Wimby is. You know what you just worry about? Didn't he miss time last year because of blood clot?
Yeah. So
like
somebody
that big, you just like it's like KP.
Yes, I don't have to be the a-hole. There's no chance.
It's those. Their bodies are just so hard to keep healthy all the time. That's the only thing you worry about.
He has to be truly a one of one for there not to be health issues down there. You just look at him,
feet,
and you're not
knees,
a doctor,
nope.
But you look at him and you go, guy like that, there's going to be injuries.
Yeah.
That he doesn't look right. That and yes, feet is common or
feet,
something.
Toes,
like there's
ankles,
just so
knees.
Few big men that have been able to avoid the injuries, especially when they're that lanky and sort of weird.
Your body has to do so much to like, just think about how difficult it is for that man's beautiful heart to pump, send blood all the way down to those toes and then all the way back up to his head. Like, it's impossible.
Right, and he's in good shape. It's not like he's fat and you're like, it's a fat
problem.
Oh, no,
he's in,
He could probably use a few pounds.
Of course he could. But did you see, like, he looked markedly, he looked bigger than last year. He looked like he's in much better shape. Like, this kid's potential is, to me, so long as he's healthy, disclaimer, asterisks, et cetera.
No chance.
Limitless.
And that's where I'm just hoping, because I love watching him play. And I love the elite of the elite, the Bo Jacksons, or the guys that are just so much different and better than their contemporaries.
Mason Miller, Jaylen Brown, yep.
He is that.
The Paul Devlins.
He is.
James Devlin. Sorry.
His name right. Have some respect.
I got a buddy named Paul Devlin.
Well, Devlin. I like James Devlin.
Those guys like James Devlin.
He was a one of one. But yeah, maybe with modern Fitzy, the one thing I'll say is maybe as science evolves and nutrition evolves and sports medicine evolves, maybe that helps Wembanyama avoid some of the things that have taken down. Like Sean Bradley was a guy. Okay. He had all feet issues. Like, so get him the right shoes. Make sure Wembanyama has the right shoes that don't, you know, have weird foot issues.
Regular
down the road.
Pedicures.
Whatever it needs to be, because I would love to see him evolve as a basketball player. In a weird way, though, like, it's not fair. You look at him and you're right. Like, that doesn't seem fair. Are you allowed, like, you know, you grow up and you're like on the eighth grade team and the ninth, you're like, kids of the same size are supposed to play each other. Like, that guy, not fair. He shouldn't be in the NBA.
Raise the rim.
I mean, for him.
Like, tiger proof.
Exactly.
He's literally a cheat code.
And we met Paul Devlin, so all was a success.
I'll tell you who Paul is after I get my 3-point off my chest.
Okay, and he'll probably
Five minutes from now, we'll find out who Paul Devlin is.
I tell you what, you're going to know who he is when I tell you. You won't believe it.
He'll be Andy's guy by the time we're done with this show today.
Probably so.
All right, Teddy, you ready?
I'm not yet. All right. Okay. First, I want to do a little show poll.
Always.
Oh, I like your show poll.
Just real quick, I want to go around the room. Who top two people to blame for last night's Celtics loss, Andy?
Joe Mazzulla, Peyton Pritchard.
Okay, Fitzy?
I'm going to go with Joe Mazzulla and Joe Mazzulla.
Okay, and Dan?
I'll go Joe Mazzulla and Sam Hauser.
Okay, all right. That's good to know. Just want to get a little idea of what you guys were thinking. And then real quick, Andy, put the knee pads away, the cocoa oil.
Whoa! Hey now!
I got a towel for you here. Wipe your mouth off.
Whoa! Ted's coming back throwing haymakers.
Go ahead.
He had some time to
get it. Yeah, he's been writing material.
Go ahead. Start that clock, Bubba.
All right, go ahead, Ted.
All right. So, you know, I talked to Howie Long one time at the at Radio Row, and I interviewed him, and he says, go ahead, say brag.
Brag!
Great story. Brag. I said, you know, what's the key to being a great pass rusher? And he said, Ted, it's the counter moves and the triple moves. It's you know, your first move, you get stopped, but it's that counter move, and that's exactly right. The best pass rushers you ever see them, they might do an up and under, but then they get blocked, but then they counter it with something else. And then if they're blocked there, they counter it with something else. And that's when I look at last night's game, and I look at poor Jaylen Brown, when you compare him to the greats, you know, like a Jordan, like a Kobe Bryant, like a Steph Curry, who fight and fight and fight just to get open, just to catch the ball, to get a shot off. Time and time again. Okay, there's a screen. Oh, I go into double team. All right, I'm going to throw off this guy. I'm going to go over here. Oh, there's a guy over there. I'm going to go away from that guy and go over here where there's an open space so I can catch the ball to get the shot off. I did not see Jaylen Brown in that second to last possession fight to get open at all. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. In the final possession, he set a screen for Peyton Pritchard. JB, this is your time to shine, man. JT is on the bench. You got to step up. You got to fight like Kobe, like Jordan, like Steph Curry did. And you didn't do that, and that's a shame.
So, as part of this, Ted, I heard this similar topic being mentioned post-game by Brian Scalabrine, and we have some of that audio that we'd like to share.
Oh.
I always use one play in particular because it's a play that everybody and their mom have seen. It is when Michael Jordan shot that shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He had three guys on him. He went one way, went another way, went another way, went another way to get a catch. Then he two dribbled, elevated shot on Elo. The shot is good, right? We've seen that. But what we have to understand is how hard he worked to get a catch. Right? When you watch, our best player, Jaylen Brown, has to work that hard to get a catch. Simple. You're that good of a player. You are elite at what you do. If you think that a team is going to allow you to get a catch, it just doesn't work like that. You have to work hard to first get the ball, then let your talent shine.
My blame pie goes Joe Mazzulla 1 and then JB number 2 because of how that effort that he showed on that second to last possession. No good, man. No good. You didn't see him fight at all. He just, oh, they got me. And he stops playing. It was I thought that was kind of embarrassing.
So, not all heroes wear capes, Ted.
No. I don't have as big a problem as you calling out JB because, well, hell, I expected it. We're now calling out the best player on the team on NBC Sports Boston's postgame show. The hell's going on there? The hell is going on with Scal?
Do you want honest commentary? Or do you want him to tell you what you want to hear?
I want honest commentary, and I don't know why today was the first day I got it, because I haven't gotten that in past years. They've never done that before. That is a change. I don't know if it's financially based, ratings based, or if it's just because the chosen one has a few games off, and now we can just take pot shots at Jalen Brown.
You think that's a pot shot? There's no validity to that.
I've never heard that kind of criticism on NBC Sports Boston.
Well, just forget it was the first time. Just listen to his analysis. Do you think he's right?
No, I don't, actually. I mean, I think comparing somebody to Michael Jordan, I concede the point. Jalen Brown is indeed not Michael Jordan. Now, if you're questioning his effort, I don't believe that's accurate.
Okay.
If you're just the Jordan thing muddies the water, because the examples that we've used.
He was using that as example because it's one that we can all remember.
Right. And you use Steph Curry is great. To me, Steph Curry is the greatest in the history of basketball of moving without the ball. He works harder than anybody I've ever seen, especially for a guy whose career was supposedly not supposed to happen because he had bad ankles. That guy cuts in more directions than you'll ever see. But he's the best in the history of the game at it.
So Jalen Brown, he's still got some learning to do. He's young.
I also, Jalen Brown last night weirdly left the game early on. And I was told by some that it's because of the hamstring, and it's a hamstring issue. So I don't know if he's at full health in terms of what you saw last night.
Wow. But I said put the cocoa oil away. Dang.
My biggest issue, in all honesty, is with... And Scal, I give him credit. He changed during the game. I don't know if you caught this. I brought this up with Fitzy earlier because it jumped out to me. Scal has not been overly critical. And in the second quarter when they were talking about what could make the defense better, he said, I don't know, if Derek White could maybe hit a shot, it would make everything better. Hmm. It was one of the most tone-filled pot shots I've ever seen. I'm going to ignore that light that you're keeping on, Dan Ball. 617-779-7937. Nice little blame topic chart here that Ted Johnson's brought up. Who do you blame most for last night's loss? Mm-hmm. If you don't have Joe Mazzulla on top of the list, we don't want to hear from you. And if you have Jalen Brown on the list at all, then I don't like you. But who are you blaming? They lost. They lost to a mediocre basketball team without its best player. That was not a fun game. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3:30. That means it's time for Tom E. Curran to talk about Drake May. Has he finally come to our side of the road? Is he thinking Patriots Hall of Fame and statues and MVP awards? We'll talk to Tom Curran next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons, WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson, and we go right to the guest line where our buddy Tom E. Curran joins us. Tom Curran on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, by Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860, and Tom E. Curran is powered by Verizon. Tom, how are we doing this week?
I am great, Andrew. How are you today?
I am great. And I want to start with, I don't know, I feel like all these interviews start with Drake May these days here in New England.
I know.
And something interesting popped up yesterday. I believe Karen Garigian asked him if it was sort of against his instincts to slide. And Drake May kind of acknowledged it is. And I want to use that as a jumping off point to the next level. Do you think it's also against his instincts to throw the ball away? Because I was trying to remember the last time he had a throwaway. And I guess the is that something that's going to he's going to have to get rid of to continue his ascension as a quarterback? At some point, is the safety instinct or the safe play instinct going to have to become part of his game?
Only until he gets burned. I mean, that's basically what ends up happening. The last throwaway that I can remember that sticks out because it was such a ridiculous idea. He took the ball from right hand to left hand and threw it out of bounds.
Yep. Right. Yep.
And I'm like, and that was right after his turnover play game. And I'm like, what is he doing? I'm like, you can't be flipping the ball around, changing hands. But obviously that fades into obscurity as he continues to play well. But I do think, Tom Brady and his level of expectation over the course of time, a guy would be mildly off his route and Brady would just whip it into the stands
right.
because he was so disgusted. So I imagine at some point May will be of a mind to say, you know what, this play isn't going to work. I'm just getting rid of it. But I don't mind the youthful exuberance. I don't. I really don't. And I'm not worried about him getting hurt. He's going to. They all do. I would prefer he not get hurt like he on the kind of play that he made last week where he's trying to stiff arm somebody, kind of fans on it and gets rolled. But he's going to get hurt at some point.
Yeah, TC, we were kind of hard up for good news last year. So I thought that going from the right hand to the left hand and going out of bounds was one of the coolest plays he had last year. But that's me. But, so the running game finally looked like it had a heartbeat in this last game, particularly Ramondre Stevenson, 18 carries for 88 yards, averaging almost 5 per. What did you see in the running game that maybe was the difference in this? And do you see this maybe being the norm now?
I saw a team that they were going against that was averaging 4.5 yards per carry against, and then Jeffrey Simmons going out. However, I think the push was good, and I think that largely Stevenson's speed hitting the holes was better. I still thought there were a couple of carries where I thought that he was a little tentative, more tentative than when we've seen him at his very, very best. But I think the push was there, the holes were there, and he was much more decisive, which is something that we talked about probably for 2 or 3 weeks, the decisiveness and whether or not he was running with his first goal being, okay, I just want to get to the ground with the ball in my hand. Forget about making yards. I'll just dumb into the yards that are there. But I thought he also, if you looked at a number of the plays on which you could really see well, the ball was high and tucked up near his collarbone as opposed to down by his ribs. So that seems to have taken root.
Tom, side question. Do you ever play cards with an X-ray table?
I'm not a big card player. Just not a big card player. So I'm going to have to say no. Okay. And I'm not even sure where that comes from.
Don't worry. It's the life we lead, Tom. You're one of us now.
It's the big NBA scandal from this morning with the FBI and everything. It's on the Patriots front, Tom E. So now there's a story. Like, we've heard a lot of different stories and sources about the Patriots will be interested in trading for this, making a move on that. But it really does seem like there's momentum building towards the Patriots pursuing help on the defensive side of the ball. Are we talking cornerback depth? Are we talking another pass rusher? Are we talking a big boy on the line? What do you think?
I think linebacker and safety would probably be places that they would look. Certainly, I mean, Kyle Duggar was okay last week, more productive, better than his first week when he had to stand in and let up a long score on the first play of the game against New Orleans, or a long completion to Olave. But I think that they want more speed on the back end, and I don't think he can ever have enough corner depth. And that's just a hackneyed expression that anyone can lean on. But my guess is they cast a wide net. You don't know who's available until really that week. So to me, what will the Patriots have to give up? If it's nominal, go get them. If it's, fifth or sixth round pick for a decent player, that should be doable. I would be surprised, given their momentum right now and the fact that it is still a building team. It's not a finished product. I would be surprised if they didn't add someone. But, I would also be able to make the case, I think, that they would want to add on the offensive side of the ball because their depth at tight end, the depth really at wide receiver, if any of those guys goes down, and again, it's 100%, guys are going to get hurt at every position. So if Mac Hollins, someone who wouldn't think we generally wouldn't have thought of in August, indispensable, went down, there's a valuable blocker, a very good third down target, a guy who can, you know, make catches in the red zone and has it throughout his career. Where do you go? So to me, and I don't think Jacoby Myers is a horrible idea. Mm-mm. And I know that, I mean, he wants out. There is the notion that, as Mike said the other day on the station, I don't want to jerk the wheel at running back. Would that be jerking the wheel in the wide receiver room and with Drake May? To me, there would be a lot of sense made by trading for Jacoby Myers, picking up the rest of his $10 million salary, and then seeing what the disposition is of Diggs and Jacoby Myers next year as they're entering free agency.
Tom
Actually, Diggs will not be a free agent, excuse me, right?
No.
He's on a three-year deal, so yes. Excuse me.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We excuse you here on WEEI Afternoons. Who is more in jeopardy of being exposed this week against this Browns defense? Do you think it's more likely on Monday, if things go sideways, we're saying, oh, wow, reality check for Drake May, or, oh, wow, reality check for Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and those young offensive linemen?
I think if it does come to pass, it might be along the offensive line. And look, Jim Schwartz is such an experienced defensive coordinator. He's coached against Mike. He's coached with Mike. They know each other. There are going to be things that Tennessee says, you know what? Okay, he's a really good player, but he's still 23 and he's made about 17 NFL starts. We're going to try and really ramp things up, make it difficult for Drake May. If that means bringing six, if that means bringing seven, if that means disguising as much as they can, because Cleveland is not walking into the game, I think, saying to themselves, we ought to be able to put up 25 on these guys. I mean, honestly, 17 would seem like a reasonable target. Not saying that they're targeting that, but 17 would be a reasonable target amount, I would think, for Cleveland to walk in. I said Tennessee. For Cleveland to walk in trying to hit.
Hey, Tom, I'm pretty much at the halfway point here. I feel like just a quick little state of the union on the Patriots draft class. You know, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams, you know, Craig Woodson, they all played a part in this last game. Craig Woodson got beat for a deep one. Kyle Williams, you know, look, he doesn't even qualify for rookie receivers because he doesn't get enough snaps. Travion Henderson, only two carries. Just what are your thoughts? I don't know if you want to give him a grade or just your thoughts on the rookie class so far and how it's performing.
I think between Borogalis and Campbell, you got two guys you can trot out there. Woodson, I think overall, given the number of snaps he's played as a rookie fourth round pick, you can't kick. You really can't. Yeah, there's going to be plays that he allows over the course of time, whether, you know, it's Eugene Wilson, James Sanders, you know, that's that ilk of player that you get in the second, third, fourth round. I think Sanders was a third round pick, just to roll it back. That's pretty good if a guy can get on the field as a rookie and be relied upon. Kyle Williams, we had this conversation to kind of lump Kyle Williams and Travion Henderson into the same group. And Ted, I'm sure that you feel the same way. If you were in that locker room looking at one of your fellow linebackers, it's only seven games in, especially on offense. There's only so many footballs to go around. They had 18 carries for 88 yards from their, you know, rehabilitating running back. So why go away from him? The quarterback was 21 for 23. So why take the ball out of his hands? To me, there just hasn't been opportunity. I believe exactly what Vrabel and McDaniels are saying. We're going to need Travion Henderson, just like they're going to need at some point Kyle Williams. I think Williams is a little bit boxed out because when they drafted him, they didn't know Diggs was going to be this good, and they probably didn't understand how good Booty was either. So those two factors are weighing into the usage of Kyle Williams. But every time I've encountered him, he has a great attitude. Mm-hmm. Very likable kid, very personable, gets along with his teammates. Far cry from what we were experiencing a little bit with Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. So I wouldn't sweat on either of those personally.
Feels like he's close for sure. Tom, we've played this game with all of our football guests this week, Brian Hoyer, Adam Schefter, et cetera. We'd like to add you to the prestigious company. Could you name your top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Are we talking right now?
Yeah, right now. No, right now.
Okay, so those two will still be, if I had to start a game on Sunday, and if we're talking right now, I'm not starting Lamar Jackson. He's hurt. I would probably start Baker Mayfield and Jared.
I'm not familiar. Who's Jared?
I'm stuck between the Mayfield, Goff, May, Jordan Love, Jambalaya.
Just say May. Don't be a hater. Just say May.
Don't be a hater.
I'll say May.
Yeah.
Because it is how you're playing now, and he's got 12 touchdowns and 2 picks, and he looks like Kurt friggin' Warner.
Yeah.
So I'll go with him.
Okay, we love it. Before we let you go, you got a prediction for what? Oh, is that only four?
I just wanted
to I'm ready to go.
Go ahead.
Ted's got something very important. Forget your fifth. Ted, what's up?
Real quick. Tom, does Belichick get in the Hall of Fame this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna put my money on the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that he will.
Okay, well, what's the most likely outcome on Sunday?
1917, Patriots.
Ooh, a tight one, but a win is a win, and you survive in advance.
Yeah,
Tom Curran.
It was 17-12, thanks to 4 Andy Borgalis field goals.
Oh, nice.
Before the late May to Austin Hooper touchdown.
Wow, Austin Hooper in the end zone again. Very detailed. Love it. Also, just wanted to let you know I voted. I went with the Buffalo Bills game. Was Drake May's best game. I know you got slants poll tonight that I assume you'll be answering on the show what you think his best game was.
I will offer my input, and I will also read off several comments from loyal viewers and listeners, and we appreciate always the people who would join in on the Quick Slants poll, and we appreciate everybody listening to the Patriots Talk podcast.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully you're right about the weekend. We'll see you.
Very good. Have a good weekend.
See you, Tom. You too.
Thanks, Tom.
It's Tom E. Curran. I should have known when Ted Johnson was like, I got a question. I got to get in. The words Bill and Belichick were going to be in that question somewhere.
In the news cycle.
We'll get to that at some point, Ted. We'll talk about Bill Belichick. He's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
I believe
if the Hall of Fame wants to exist, he should be in this year. But if they want to embarrass themselves, they should keep him out. And we'll talk about that a bit later. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, you waited all week for it. He was sick, but now he's sick about that Patriots win in, where the hell they win? Tennessee. Ted Johnson's TED Talk next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good job, boys. We bullied him into including Drake May in his top five.
Yep, that's certainly what happened there.
Between him and Schefter, we've really had to work a little bit to get Drake May in.
Did you bully Schefter?
No, we actually didn't have to as much. There was just a long pause. Schefter went Patrick Mahomes, and then I literally said, Adam, you still there?
Yeah.
Because it was such a long pause, and then he goes, well, I guess I got to go Drake May.
What?
Yeah. No. And Drake May was next, and he's a top five quarterback.
Okay.
Right now, we always have to tell people that. It's right now. It's not a month ago. It might not be next month. It's literally right now. So,
don't be a hater.
Right now, you know what time it is. It's time for a TED Talk.
Here we go, baby. Come on, David. Get on that sucker.
It's the computer.
It's time for a TED Talk.
In a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
This was a disappointing play. Patriots had momentum.
From three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
This guy is one of the best inside linebackers in football.
It's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the football. The snap of the ball, said hike.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, let's go, Ted Johnson. You got to be on your P's and Q's. That's quick, but not a lot of time.
We don't have a lot of time.
What'd you think of the resurgent run game?
Okay, I thought the offensive line, for the first time all year, got guys knocked off the line of scrimmage. So it was more about the offensive line than it was about Ramondre. So good job, offensive line. Let's go. Those double teams were working in that game, and partly because they sucked, and Simmons.
I was going to say.
Simmons got hurt, right?
Might also be that the worst run defense in football lost its best player.
Yep.
So you got a little bee in your bonnet about the rookies.
Just a little disappointing, you know, right now. Will Campbell, I got a bunch of pictures I'll show you later. But 30th pro football focus is as far as tackles go. So he's right in the middle. Wilson gave up a sack, a bad sack. I thought Kyle Williams, let's go, bro. What are we going to do here? Trayvon Henderson, only two carries. And then Craig Woodson gives up a big touchdown. However, saying all that, I do agree with Tom Curran when he says, let's not panic yet. It's still early in the season. I'm not too worried about it. But the rookies aren't playing as maybe I hoped to this point, but I still have faith in them.
Who do you have more faith in, Trayvon Henderson to be an impact guy or Kyle Williams to be an impact guy?
Trayvon, I do.
Okay.
I do. And I like Kyle Williams. I do. I just think it's a harder position. Running back's more instinctual than receiver. You got to think a lot more. It's more physical playing wide receiver. Running back, it's all about instincts.
Patriots offseason is getting some love on ESPN these days from your favorite writer, the guy who lives in the basement. And obviously a key part of that was Milton Williams' thoughts.
Dude, so Milton had two effort plays. I don't know if anybody's been talking about these, but he had two effort plays. When you see a defensive lineman chase down screens,
yeah,
that's always your antenna always goes up. I saw him chase down a traditional screen for an 8-yard carry. I don't care, because if he doesn't make that tackle 8 yards down the field, then it goes into a 20-yard carry. And then he also made a tackle on a missile screen where he basically, the offensive line invites him to go upfield. He stops and he turns and he has to run and catch the guy. And he did from behind both times. I like the Milton Williams signing, even though his sacks only right now 3.5. The effort he gives in the run game and those effort plays, those add up. And I can respect that.
If Jaylen Brown had his motor, he might have gotten the ball. Fourth down.
Dude, what are the Patriots right now? 9-for-11 on fourth down?
You like it?
Why not? They went, was their second drive of the game, and they were like 4th-and-2 on the 15-yard line. Go for it. Mm-hmm. Empty it out. It was the easiest. So Pop Douglas makes a one-handed catch from behind.
Phenomenal.
But he was wide-ass open. Mm-hmm. He's surgical. I have so much confidence in Drake May and making a play on fourth down. Keep being aggressive on fourth down, guys.
The two-minute offense seems to be okay with Drake May.
Dude, the two-minute offense, I always tell people this. When did you notice Tom Brady? When did you know he was going to be great? You ever see him do a two-minute drill? He was surgical. Drake May, two-minute drill before halftime, surgical. 67 yards in 59 seconds.
Yep.
Touchdown to Boutte. Teams do not respond. I'll save that. Kayshawn Booty, love the kid. But three plays, 59 seconds. And he was surgical. I love seeing Drake May being surgical in the two-minute drill.
Two-minute drill is a lot easier, too. In red zone, you're a lot better. If you just skip it, throw a bomb, and the guy scores in the end zone, it makes life look easy. Play-action game for a team that suddenly had a run game.
Oh, my gosh. There was a play where...
Oh, my God. I remember it. I know where you're going. Go ahead.
Mac Hollins? You remember that?
Yes.
He was
both
wide.
Idiot linebackers, like, dude, ran into the line.
No, it was like the play fake was...
mediocre.
It was so good.
Oh, I thought they were suckers.
No. Drake, you got to give credit to the guy, the magician in the backfield.
Ted Johnson would not have fallen for that.
Hey, you kidding me? I would have played 10 years if I did. So it was just the cheese in which these linebackers, it's almost like they're in the backfield, you know, tackling the running back.
That was like a teaching tape on what play action passing
is. Oh, my gosh. Just they don't coach linebackers like they used to.
And you almost gave it away, but it seems like you got a little crush on a certain wide receiver who caught a deep ball.
You know what's great is teams don't respect Kayshawn Booty yet. They don't. They, you know what? They're just gonna like let him run right by the safety, the middle of the field safety on that touchdown, that beautiful pass from Drake May. didn't even look his way. Mm. Didn't even consider that the ball was going to Kayshon Boutte. Kayshon, you keep doing what you're doing. A lot of respect for where he started, for where he's ended up. I mean, he's a very, very dependable player, and I love to see him doing well. And teams, they haven't figured out that they need to put two guys on him sometimes in critical third down situations. Hopefully they don't figure it out for a while.
That two-minute edition of TED Talk was brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. If joint pain has you riding the bench, do what TED did. Eliminate your joint pain with Dr. Franke of Boston Prolotherapy, online at bostonprolotherapy.com. Thank you, TED. It was 2 days late, but it was worth the wait. Coming up next year on WEEI Afternoons, our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft in studio talking about, well, five losses in a row for the Bruins and a bad goalie and bad... we'll find some good questions in there. Razor's up next on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.